Okay. Kind of just makes it a little more free.
Correct.
Okay.
It's changing the actual zoning to commercial rather than it being a contract zone layered on top of single family residential underneath.
Okay. Right. So if a contract zone expires, the property reverts back to the underlying zone. In this case, one lot was zoned single family residential originally, and one lot is zoned open space public. This would permanently change both of those lots to commercial.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Thank you, Carol. Seeing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes, item 13B, resolution number 04-21-1580, amending the fiscal year 2021 budget in the water fund by transferring $2,330 from water fund reserves to the water fund non-capital requirement account and authorizing this expenditure for the procurement of a UV254P200 meter.
Move to approve resolution number 04-21-1580.
We move. Do you have second?
Morrison second.
Morrison seconded. Discussion, Lisa, do you want to explain what this is?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll tee this up and then Tom Waiters on the meeting as well. This piece of equipment was introduced to us by the water consultant that we had in town working with our staff. He fully trained the staff on this, and it's going to allow us to have a better handle on measuring the organics in our water source, allowing us to make real-time changes to the treatment process that are within our ability to do. So I'll let Tom speak to this a little bit more.
Mr. Weider, do you want to give us a brief synopsis of this item?
So really the only other thing that I would add is that it will allow us to be able to isolate the system and you know, by having a handheld monitor, we're able to try to figure out, you know, where we're seeing increases within the system, and that can help identify, you know, what adjustments need to be made to address that. And then the only other things that I would have to add, we sent out a test here today for our TTHMs and HAA5s to try and get some results after making some of these adjustments with Mr. Pollen last week. And it's something that we will need to be monitoring very closely, especially before we have our regulatory test in May. So that is something staff and I are still in communication with the consultant on, and continuing to monitor the adjustments that have been made and try to find the right pieces to the puzzle that will give us the highest quality water that we can. And this monitor just helps us to be able to better identify where increases may be happening in the system, and hopefully be able to isolate some of those things.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Weider or City Manager Bob Bargan?
Mr. Mayor, I just quickly add, obviously this item is within my spending authority. We just didn't have money for it in the water budget without moving money from reserves.
Fair enough. For new assembly members, the city manager, what is it, $25,000, Lisa?
Yes, sir.
So her spending authority goes up to $25,000. But because there's a transfer taking place between funds, it has to be approved by the assembly. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13C, resolution number 04-21-1581, amending the fiscal year 2021 budget in the wastewater fund by transferring $14,467 from wastewater fund reserves to the wastewater collection system maintenance account, and authorizing this expenditure for the purchase of a new Flight MP3127 pump and the Flight 6018909 basic repair kit.
Move to approve resolution number 04-21-1581.
Been moved. Do you have a second?
Second, Gilbert.
Seconded by Gilbert. You were too slow, Terry. Sorry. I saw you teeing it up. He doesn't quite get there. Lisa, do you want to start us off? And I see that Mr. Weider's ready to roll too.
Right, I'm sure. This is just an example of what we're beginning to see, Mr. Mayor, with the age of our pumps is kind of a cascading failure. And one of the things that I'll let Tom speak to the details of this, but what I've asked him to do and what he has done a bang up job starting is an inventory of all of our pump, our lift stations and the pumps within those lift stations, the age, and what we need to be doing is putting together a full replacement program for this that starts now and runs, you know, in perpetuity so that we're replacing these pumps within these lift stations at regular intervals. And we're not seeing ourselves having to buy 5, 6, 7, 8 in a year, you know, without having advance warning of this because we're having such issues. So anyway, I'll let Tom speak to the details, but just know, I just wanted the assembly to know that we're looking at a more long-term solution than this and we'll be presenting it in the future.
Mr. Weider, please go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of a write-up in the summary, but basically this specific pump, we were having issues at node 14, and which is right there by the entrance to Shoemaker Harbor and the Rainbow Falls Trail. And we burned up a pump there. Part of it was because one of the check valves that was there was actually clogged up, and that was something that we found in this process. We were able to remedy that situation as well. And we only had one pump on the shelf for these flight pumps that are at node 14. And we have 10 of these pumps spread out across 5 different stations currently. And they were installed in, I believe it was 1997. And so, you know, they're getting to be pretty old pumps, and staff were working to rebuild the pump that was pulled out here just last week. And so right now we don't have a spare for those 10 pumps. And once staff get that one rebuilt, we will have a rebuilt spare. And we just need to start planning better and budgeting for these things, because, you know, after 23, 24 years, a lot of the pumps they're past their life cycle, and the lead time on this equipment is 3 to 4 months, and they're not cheap. And so we need to try to get ahead of this. And so I have been working with our operators to compile as much information as we can get about when pump stations were installed, when's the last time that they were rebuilt, and how many spares we have on the shelf, and you know, how much each spare costs, and you know, what would be I wouldn't even say a comfortable inventory, but an operational one, you know, just necessary for what we need to be able to drop a pump back down into a station if something goes down. You know, the good news is that of the 5 stations that have this specific pump, they are dual stations. So if one pump does go down, you know, we should be able to get by for a short period of time on the one pump that is there, but it's not something that we can rely on long-term or anything like that. And the last thing I'll say, just giving everybody a heads up on one of the projects that we're working on. Part of our issue is that, you know, there's different size pumps and different voltages at different stations. And a lot of times those things are not compatible between one station and another. And so we have enough variation in our system. The inventory needs are pretty great. And another thing that is a much larger discussion is the individual lift stations that we maintain on private property, and the fact that there's over 30 of those throughout the community, and there's you know, several different brands that we are also needing to maintain an inventory for, and money comes out of the same fund for these pumps. And so as our
infrastructure... Mr. Weider, I'm gonna direct you to stay on this one for right now. We'll get to that other topic at another time.
Great. Well, that was really about all that I had to say. We're trying to come up with a better plan to maintain the system, and unfortunately, with a 3 to 4 month lead time, we cannot wait until the next fiscal year to replace this pump for Node 14.
Okay, I'm sorry, I've lost my audio here. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Sorry, I had my headphones in and it went blank there. I apologize. Okay. Thanks, Tom, for that. Is there any other questions regarding...
It looks like Assemblymember Corson has his hand up.
Thank you, Assemblymember Corson. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to... one question. So... when we authorize this, that'll give us one spare pump, or one spare pump and one being repaired?
This will give us one spare pump and then an additional rebuild kit. So if another pump does break down, we can try to rebuild that one, and we would have a new one to be able to drop down in the hole.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The question that I have, Tom, is what is the lead time to get a pump up here? On average,
For the flight pumps, it can be 3 to 4 months. So, and that's a lot of what we're up against. So we have one rebuilt spare on the shelf for 10 pumps that are 20 plus years old and would prefer to not wait until the next fiscal year, just considering how long that lead time is. And if another station breaks down between now and then, we'll be increasingly putting ourselves in between a rock and a hard place.
Thank you. Assemblymember Morrison.
I just want to say that I appreciate the forward thinking of your department, Tom. I think it's high time that Wrangell started looking at that kind of proactive, get ahead of the problem resolution to a lot of things that we have going on. So thank you.
Yeah, I want to echo those sentiments. And I am going to throw this out. It's one thing to have a lead time of a week or 2 weeks. 2.5 months is actually, in procurement terms, an incredibly long time. And to have one on the shelves really worries me, because these are critical items to our infrastructure. So I am, I'm questioning why we wouldn't have more rebuild kits. Or I understand that there's different pumps, different voltages, and I'm not quite sure exactly how much of each, but I do worry about the failure rate. But the second thing is that I am absolutely believe, like what Assemblymember Morrison just said, we need to start rotating out these old pumps, putting them on the shelves as spare, and putting new pumps in the hole. And then having, you know, like you're saying, you've got to have a schedule that every X number of years, those pumps get pulled, rebuilt, or pulled, new ones down the hole, the old one goes on the shelf as a spare to get us through. Mr. Weider, how many pump stations do you have in total?
I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I believe there are 34 large flight pumps. These are range anywhere from basically $10,000 to $30,000 a piece. And then we have, I think it's like 34 smaller pumps that the pumps themselves are only, you know, $2,000, $2,500. But those are the ones that are on private properties. But the big pumps, there's 34 pumps, and I want to say it's across 15 or 16 nodes.
I would appreciate, if possible, City Manager Von Bargen, if we can make up a spreadsheet that showed the pumps, and they may already have this, the pumps, the similarity. So if you've got, you know, a pump that's 240, this many horsepower, this model, you know, that we know we have X number of those. And I'd like to see how many we have on the shelf, how many rebuild kits we have, what the year, the age of the pump is. Because I think the assembly.
Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
I apologize. At the risk of interrupting you, this is a conversation that Mr. Wadar and I had about 10 days ago, and he's provided a draft of that spreadsheet already, and we're working toward providing that. So yes to that request.
The majority of the information is in, and I can finish that up here shortly.
I think the assembly should take a look seriously at our critical infrastructure, and I view our sewage and our water as critical infrastructure, and we need to make the investment to ensure that we don't have failures. You know, a failure of that system is catastrophic and bring major fines to the city for having overflow flowing and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we'll look forward to getting that information. Thank you very much. Is there any other questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, we definitely see this as a life, health, safety issue for the community, and we want to get ahead of this. So we'll Absolutely. Get the information to you.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no further questions, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. 13D resolution number 04-21-1582, amending the fiscal year 2021 budget in industrial construction fund by transferring $24,094 from industrial construction fund reserves to the industrial construction fund professional services account and authorizing its expenditure for the aerial imagery.
Move to approve resolution number 04-21-1582.
We've had it moved. We have a second.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Corson. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the funding for the aerial imagery and the LIDAR, which is light radar work that we had done a couple of weekends ago, week and a half ago or so. As I indicated in the agenda statement, they were not able to finish all of section two, which was supposed to be included in this, and we're waiting to hear what their solution will be for that. But we did get all of our high priority area, which is the water reservoir valley and the runout area done. And I think about half of section, our priority two area, which is the main downtown location. And we will continue to update you. And as soon as we get that aerial imagery, we will get it into a position where we'll be able to show you what that looks like.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. 14E, resolution number 04-21-1583, amending the fiscal year 2021 budget in the water fund by transferring $8,000 from water fund reserves to the water fund professional services account and authorizing its expenditure for the membrane technology water treatment cost analysis.
Move to approve resolution number 04-21-1583.
The move, do you have a second?
Corson, second.
Thank you. Lisa?
Hi, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, as the assembly is aware, we've been going down the road of, trying to get a new water treatment plant put in place for the borough for a number of years. And the direction we've been moving is toward a dissolved air flotation system. The consultant that was down here to assist with the water spoke to us before he arrived, and then in his closing meeting with myself, the Public Works Director, and the Capital Facilities Director about membrane technology. Membrane technology was an option that was looked at in the original preliminary engineering report for options for the water treatment technology. It was not looked at as a viable option because of the cost associated with the project. And our information from Mr. Poland is that the cost of membrane technology and the advancement of the product that it provides the cost has come down significantly and the technology has improved significantly and strides continue to be made even in small month time increments. Mr. Poland put us in touch with the person that is the foremost expert in membrane technology installation in the state of Alaska. Mr. Weedor and Ms. Al-Haddad and myself had a meeting with him last week. And we asked him, we felt like given that information, we could not move forward with additional engineering related expenses related to the DAF project without understanding what potential cost savings there might be by going with membrane technology. So we asked the question about what it would take for him to provide a rough order of magnitude cost for us. Mr. Jones, Greg Jones said probably somewhere between $5,500 and $8,000, he could get something to us in 30 days. That was an absolute, we have to do this immediately. I actually said to Amber, we have to pull the trigger now. So we put it on the agenda we put it on the agenda Friday. We had this meeting on Thursday and this is a no-brainer. We have to get this information to the assembly so that we can move forward with a water treatment plant option.
Thank you.
And both Tom and Amber are on the line, Mr. Mayor, if there are other questions or they feel like they need to answer, add anything.
Thank you. Any questions? I'm very excited about this. I think this gentleman coming down has been just a wealth of information for us and has perhaps potentially can save us many thousands of dollars and
millions, maybe.
Millions, yeah. The technology, it sounds to me like it's really evolved in a short period of time. From when we were looking before, it was not really within our reach, but now it is within our reach due to the technological advances. And this really could be a great answer for us. So I'm very excited about it. And I am very supportive of moving forward with this. Assemblymember Howe.
Lisa, how, or anybody, I suppose, how far out are we from getting a proposal in front of us to like move forward with a project? Like, it sounds like we're working on a cost projection right now. How long until we think we could actually begin working on this?
So Mr. Howe, we actually negotiated and chose an engineering firm, and we're negotiating with Dow to provide the engineering for the DAF plant. And what ended up happening is the fee proposal. So we pick an engineering firm based on qualifications. That's actually required by law here in Alaska. It's in statute. So you pick an engineering firm based on qualifications and then you negotiate a fee with them. The fee that came in from Dow was significantly higher than what was proposed in the preliminary engineering estimate and is higher than what the funding agencies would normally see in terms of a percentage of total cost of construction. So they asked for some additional information. There are a number of things going on here. The funding agencies will not pay for engineering or reimburse us for engineering unless we prove we're going to go to construction. So essentially what that means is we would be on the hook for roughly $1 million in engineering fees until we know whether or not we have the money to move, we can afford construction. So we had to be able to answer that question for the assembly right there. So we went back to the funding agencies, Amber did, and asked if they would be willing to provide more money for the engineering. That's when they told us we would be on the hook for it, unless it was for sure that we were going to go to construction. Well, when we were doing the interviews with the engineering firms, everybody expressed concern about the time frame that has elapsed between the original preliminary engineering report and today in terms of cost escalation, not only just because of the number of years that have elapsed, seven now, but because we're seeing enormous cost escalation in raw materials, 40% in some instances, even more than that in terms of lumber. And so the likelihood that we're going to be able to bring the DAF plant construction in for the original engineering cost of $9.5 million, for which we have secured funding, is highly unlikely. So the funding agencies have now suggested that we go back to CRW, the engineering firm that performed the preliminary engineering report, and ask them for a new cost estimate. So we were getting ready to come back to the assembly to say the funding agencies have asked us to do that. That's a cost, I think, of around $18,000. Amber, correct me if I'm wrong. But this new membrane technology issue has raised its head. So we feel like we have an obligation to find out whether or not the membrane technology and our ability to potentially put it in an existing structure rather than build a new structure like we were having to do for the DAF plant is an option, potentially saving us millions. If membrane technology turns out to be a viable solution, that's going to increase our time frame significantly. So I can't give you a for sure yet. We'll have a better idea for you once we get the answer to this question.
Thank you. It's very exciting to know we can use our existing facilities. And that's a lot of money. Thank you.
Yes.
Patty.
Yes. Can you give us the manufacturing name for this membrane technology so we can do some research?
There's more than one, Patty. There are several.
Okay.
We can try to reach out to Greg Jones, the GV Jones, and see if he can provide some names.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
I will tell you that Juno just installed membrane technology about three years ago. We actually visited their plant.
Amber.
Also, if you, in lieu of having a name of a manufacturer, if you want to just search for ultrafiltration and nanofiltration, though that is the combination of filter treatment that we would be looking at. So you can find those just as the basic treatment and understand what those are as a start.
Member Corson.
I just have a general question. The membrane technology treatment plant that we're talking about, is that generally the same type of facility that we have right now?
No, not even close. We have a slow sand filtration facility right now.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, not seeing anything. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. And item 13F is a discussion item only, police body cam policies. Lisa?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we wanted to get this in front of the assembly to make sure that you knew the body cam policies in draft form were ready to go. And this information has been provided to our attorney to review. We believe he'll be able to bring some other options for us, some other examples from other communities that they've dealt with. But Police Chief Radke's on the line. He looked at a number of different plans from all over policies from all over the country and pulled together sort of an amalgamation of those into one draft policy document here. I have to be honest, Chief Radke got this to me a number of weeks ago, and I apologize that I was the weak link in not getting to it. And I want to thank actually Assemblymember Corson, who sent me an email saying, hey, where are we at with the body cam rollout? And I was like, yeah, I think we're policies. And so I looked back in my email and was like, oh my God, I am failing miserably at this. So thank you, Assemblymember Corson, for bringing it back up, and we're getting this moving. So if the assembly, after having reviewed this, has any salient comments or ideas you want to provide, we certainly would take those now. Chief Radke can speak to this in far greater detail than I can, but we'll pass any of your comments on to the attorney and they can include those in whatever they provide back to us.
Thank you. Chief Radke, is there anything you want to add to that?
This is kind of a document in motion, and we're looking forward to community input. I think the community really needs to be involved in this process as we roll it out. There's going to be some bumps in the road, but the staff was really looking forward to moving forward with this and being transparent. And it's kind of the next step we're to take Ringgold law enforcement is keep moving forward and moving into the future. So I'm looking for any feedback or any, you know, there's sometimes you put together a document and you don't exactly see some of the problems, and somebody can pick it up in a minute, figure out a problem. So I guess I'm just looking for any type of feedback, positive or negative, to go forward.
Thank you, Chief. Thoughts, concerns, questions, input?
Mr. Mayor, I would add that if anybody doesn't have them now and they want to, they can certainly direct any, get any comments to the clerk, and she can pass that on to the chief.
Sounds good. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate this. And thanks, Councilmember Corson, for getting it back on the table. Appreciate that very much. I think this is important. And, I was talking with the chief earlier tonight, and I said that it's an interesting thing, because I think everybody thinks it's about, you know, catching the police doing something bad, but 99% of the time it actually helps the police in terms of rolling out what really happened, because we all know that when emotions are high, memories get skewed. So I really like this. I think it's an excellent thing, and I'm glad we're moving forward, and appreciate the policies coming forward. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, poll vote, please. Oh, we don't have, there's no resolution here, so it's discussion only. Okay.
When are you trying to trick me?
Call it anyways, Kim. Call the discussion. Okay, well, that's our last item. Item 14, attorney's file available for assembly review at the borough's clerk office. Item 15, executive session. executive session, union negotiations.
I move pursuant to Alaska Statutes 44.62.310, Section C3, that we go into executive session and invite the borough collective bargaining team and borough manager to discuss and provide an update of the status of the collective bargaining negotiations, a matter which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance is required to be confidential.
You move. Do you have a second?
Second that.
It's seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Kim, I'm just looking back. I'm not seeing the email for the executive session site.
I can send it again.
That'd be great, please. Thank you. I don't know why I lost it, but I have. Does anybody else need it?
Mr. Mayor, if you, in the email she sent for the regular meeting, if you scroll down, it's below that.
Oh, okay. I got it. Thank you. Yes, there it is.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. And Assemblymember Corson, we won't make you come back in just to adjourn. So have a good evening. Thanks very much, Terry.
Good night, y'all.
We will recess at 8:08 p.m. into executive session.
Okay. And Lisa, will you please text me when you're ready to come back in?
Roger that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.